friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites. Not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two. I almost just threw up. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page.
Do school bands not have instruments that kids like?
No. The really big expensive ones. At least when I went to school in Cyprus.
Like a tuba?
Tuba, bassoon, like baritone saxophone, which is the gigantic one.
Yeah.
Those all the school has, and you rent, you check them out for the year. So it's your responsibility, and you just play, you pay for the mouthpiece and all the other stuff for it, like the maintenance of it, usually.
Right.
But that stays at the school. They usually have a crappier one that you can take home to practice with, and you keep it home. But bigger ones like that. Or, like, percussionists, all of your stuff is there. You buy a drum pad, and then you probably have to buy about $200 worth of sticks.
Yeah.
All the different drumsticks you need for the year.
I think it was the same way with us. I had to buy my own trombone.
And yeah, trombone, yeah, trumpet.
Yeah.
Trombones are pretty big.
They are. They're still not nearly as expensive as like a tuba.
I don't know what it cost, but it wasn't cheap. And then for stage band, we played trombone, but I already had the guitar stuff.
Yeah.
So we played some guitar in stage band.
You were a drummer, right?
No, I played trumpet.
Oh, okay. Drummers in high school, they have to play like the xylophone and everything else,
that's
right?
That's why you're spending money on, you've got your snare sticks, you've got your actual, all the different like 40 types of mallets and everything like that. You have timpani sticks.
The kid has to buy that?
Yep.
Well, the parents.
Well, yeah.
But aren't you a percussionist? You're not a drummer?
Yes, you're a percussionist.
See? It's another thing I remember from back in the day.
So for those of you who don't know why we got into this topic, it's because Ian Desmond has decided he's not going to play baseball in 2020. And he made a post on Instagram that is, it's powerful, and he says, a few weeks ago, I told the social media world a little bit about me that I never talk about. He started talking about the George Floyd thing, and then he starts to talk about being a biracial man in America, and he gets to how it. He said, I went over to a field in my old, basically where I was raised in my old neighborhood, and the fields look run down, neglected. I saw a Cal Ripken Little League schedule tacked to a bulletin board, walked over to check it out. It was from 2015. And of course, there was a USS, U-Trip is what they call it, travel ball showcases. So not much baseball for anyone, as much as baseball for all who can afford it. And he has basically said that in Major League Baseball, I don't know what Major League Baseball's responsibility is to bring baseball to minorities. I do know that there's fields, I wish I knew exactly where they were, but the Astros run a program, and they have a facility that's for low-income kids to go.
There used to be a thing called the RBI Foundation. I don't know if it still exists, but that's what they were there for, was to make baseball accessible to inner city youth. So I don't know if that still exists, but that was a big deal, 15 years ago. And the Astros also, you talk about these guys.
Yeah, it is RBI camps.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
But the Astros also, and a lot of teams now, have invested in the Dominican Republic and Venezuela and places like that for youth baseball. Because you're getting so many good kids out of there that go through your program. So,
well, listen, while I agree with Ian Desmond, it's not affordable for everyone. I don't know what the answer is, because you don't want to make it where those select premier the showcase team that doesn't exist, because it's not fair to those kids who have excelled. But it's also it's like everything else in this country.
Yeah.
It's not, and there's nothing for everyone. Okay. But it's for people who can afford things.
And I don't know. This probably sound wrong, but it's a lot of kids that you create these types of programs for them, And if you put them in against those select kids, they're going to get their ass kicked. There's nothing more disheartening than losing over and over and over again in a sport, no matter how good you are. I mean, it really, there really
isn't.
I'll
give you an example. So there, the tournaments that we play in, sometimes we'll play in what's called an open tournament, where you're allowed to play, like, you can play whatever level you play, you can get in this tournament. And or actually, I'll give you a better example. There's select tournaments, elite, premier, like the list goes on. But the select is like the lowest level of travel ball.
Right.
And the team that my kid plays for, the B roster is a select level roster. And they played in a tournament, and you're allowed to have teams in that tournament that aren't select teams. They can just be like league ball teams.
Right.
And I think our B roster beat a league ball team 24-2.
Yeah.
And they lost their – I mean, you play two games on Saturday, and then it's a single elimination tournament on Sunday. They played three games, and they lost by a combined like 50 runs. That's not fun for anybody.
No,
It's not fun for the team getting your ass kicked, and it's not fun for the team kicking your ass, to be honest.
No, because they're not getting anything out of it, and they're – you know, that doesn't help anybody.
And at some point, you feel bad. Like, you start to feel bad if you're on a team that's just beating the crap out of it. Like, you could tell that they're not supposed to be on the same field as you.
Right.
They just don't understand the game to that level.
Trust me. I've been on both ends of that. When throughout my useless athletic career, I've been on teams that were the big time way better than everybody else. And I've been on the teams that were so bad, it was just disheartening. And like that Legion team I was on, we're playing all these kids from Galveston who are going to UT and places like that. And we're losing 18-1. I mean, their pitcher had to throw two wild pitches for me to score our one run. I mean, we just never had a chance from the second we walked on the field. And that's not fun, especially knowing that was going to be my last real run.
But that's the point. Know? Not all kids belong on the same field.
No, we didn't belong on the field with those guys.
So it's not fair to say that shouldn't exist. Now, the fact that it costs so much, that's more on the organizations that run them, I guess. But most of these organizations, like, you know, my kids' team, they've got a practice field that they're on, you know, however many days a week. They've got they've got an indoor hitting facility that we've got access to, 7 days a week. So it's – you're paying for these things, and that's what the organization charges. You're paying for your coach. You can't just say, well, we need to have like a budget, one of these things where, you know, we don't pay the, like, who doesn't get paid then? The coach, the people who own the program, who own the fields and pay to keep the lights on and keep the grass watered, or who paid to put the turf on the fields, who shouldn't get paid?
But can we just say that this is part of American culture? If you can afford it, great. If you can't, you don't have access. That's just that's true of almost everything that we do. And you know, and obviously there's a lot of kids that are getting these opportunities. Great. Aaron was asking me if I could really get phone numbers on this website. Well, you think about it before you text. That's all I'm saying. It might be like a nuclear weapon. I might just keep it in the silo, knowing that I could push the button and the whole world will know what a dumbass you are. Or, you know, it may be that I'm just exaggerating. I'm kind of like Dirty Harry. I don't know. In all this confusion, did he fire 5 shots or did he fire 6?
Yep.
Do you feel lucky, punk? I mean, I think it's – I want you to address this because I think it's an interesting point from Chris sent me this on Twitter. Says baseball lacking black participation is more of a culture issue. Basketball and football are considered cool sports, and both are more than 50% of the players are black. In Hispanic culture, it's a cool sport, just like soccer.
I don't know. I mean, is baseball not cool? Like,
well, no, baseball isn't cool. Let's be honest.
I mean, is it?
It's. I mean, at least when I was growing up, I mean, I was best at baseball. I wanted to be better at football and basketball because those were the cool sports.
I don't know. I think it depends on the kid, because the team that knocked us out of the last tournament had there was a black kid on their team, who he was 12 years old and he was about 6'1", 185, and played center field. He could he hit a pop up that went out of the out of, over the center field wall, and he was stealing bases. Like he's a ball player. And
you're mentioning one black kid though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like my son's organization, his age group, there's like I said, there's two rosters. Between the two rosters, there's one kid who's half Hispanic and one kid who's Hispanic. Everybody else is white. Now, does part of that have to do with the part of town I live in? Probably. Does it have to do with – but I think it more has to do with financial stuff. I mean, it's not fair, so I'm not trying to pretend like it is fair.
Yeah, well, it's obvious.
I don't know what the fix is, you know? You can say make it cheap for everybody, but then you're not getting the same quality of programs.
Parents also have something to do with it too, because they'll steer their kid away from something that either they don't like or that they didn't play in, because they, you know, if they want, hey, I played football growing up, I can help you more with football. I never played baseball. I sucked. I played 1 year. They're going to try to steer their kid to what they like as much as they can.
I think there's
some
kids are like that, or some parents are like that, but
I don't think that's fair of all parents. I wanted my son to play football. I loved the sport growing up. He was a big kid. He would have been great at it. Had no interest. Played soccer for a little bit. So did my daughter. I wasn't going to force him into a sport that he didn't want to do. And, you know, in her case, she was a really good swimmer, and then she grew up and got too big to swim. But you know, I wasn't going to force
her. Her lungs got in the way.
But I wasn't going to force him. I wanted him to play, and tried to teach him the game, and you know, but it was not something he wanted to do. So I wasn't going to go back and try to relive my failed career through him. That's just dumb. And I'm sure that happens, but I don't think it's as prevalent as – although I'm not around it. AJ's around it all the time. I don't know.
But I do tell my kid all the time, hey, you let me know when you don't want to take this as seriously, because it'd be a lot easier for me if you just played rec league ball. Like it won't be any skin off my ass. Like you just want to play and hang out and just play ball without all the, because that's the other thing. All this stuff has, there's a lot of pressure on these kids. And I say, you want to play where there's no pressure and there's no competition and there's no like, where am I in the batting order today? And like, you're bummed out if you drop the spot in the batting order. You want to get away from all that? Let me know, because I'm glad to like cut my baseball expenditures like down to 20% of what they are. I'm for that.
Let's squeeze in Coach Doc real quick. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing sports. What's up, Doc?
I've been listening to you guys today, and I've always listened to you guys because AJ has a kid that plays select ball just like mine, my youngest son do, and I always remembered when his son was playing in a league on his side of town, and my son was playing in a league on his side of town. I used to call your show and say, hey, I hope they get a chance to meet someday. But I'm listening to you guys, and, you know, like my son – He is one of the only black kids that is on his select team, and my grandson, who's biracial, he's on a select team, and you know he's the second. Well, he's only of two black kids that are on the team. But I'm in a position, you know, by me being a basketball coach, I'm in a position to put my children in certain positions because I'm afforded a certain lifestyle that I'm able to do that. Now, it is expensive. We just came back from a trip to Beaumont because we played out there this weekend in a tournament. It is very expensive, and that's why most kids from a certain economic background are not able to play it. I think more kids would play baseball if they were able to, but I would see, you know, teams with one or two kids that are not white on those teams. And I do get what your guys are saying. It is an expensive sport, but somehow I think if we could narrow the cost, for example, with the parents paying to get into the facility, that's the cost I think that would be, that would help a parent out, because some of the facilities, especially like if your son is playing AAU basketball, it's $10 to get into their
facility. To watch them play.
Just for a person. Yeah, and I think that is way too much. Now, this place, the Scrapyard, I think they're very economical. You know, it's $5 per person to get in, regardless of anything, and I think that is great. Now, you may pay high prices for the food once you get in there, but to actually get into the park, I think that's very economical, and I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I love your show.
Yeah, I do get frustrated if we pay, you know, $50 for a tournament fee. And then I've got to pay to park my car there. Yeah. I get frustrated. Now, but there's some place like Baseball USA, which is where we end up playing a lot, the place off the Beltway. Because I'm a veteran, if you're a veteran or a first responder, your whole car is free. So there's some places that do stuff like that, which helps. But yeah, it is frustrating if you, but like, if my kid's grandpa wants to come watch him play, like, I got to pay. Now I'm paying $30. Between me, my wife, and grandpa, and I'm freaking coaching the team too. You know, it's not like they say, oh, come on, you're in. And no, it's not like that. It's that's more fees that people don't really think about, I guess.
All right, we'll take a break. I want to read a couple of the Twitch comments when we come back, and then want to move on to something else, which kind of became a topic on Twitter today, and I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on it. So, Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Tomorrow, the next day, might just be too.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So a couple things that I wanted to get to from the Twitchers. Crystal says, I always tell my six kids I'll pay for any activities as long as you're trying and you enjoy it. So I have two swimmers, two dancers, and a baseball player. My husband didn't want my son playing baseball at first because he was the only biracial kid. Six kids.
Oof.
Wow.
It's a lot of children.
And Admiral hits on something that we haven't touched on, but it's, well, I think we've kind of danced around it, but we haven't got into it. He says, I coach high school tennis. The crosstown school has 60 kids who spend hundreds of dollars a year on rackets, lessons, whatever. My school has about 15 players, and we use $17 to $50 school rackets for most of them, and none of them take lessons. And that's a big problem I know in the high schools around here. Like, if you're going to play football at Katy, you pretty much get whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And North Shore. But other schools don't have the money for that. And I had a friend who was a coach that had to do a fundraiser just to get enough football equipment for one season. And it's – so some schools don't have any of that. And I know the Touchdown Club has always gone in and done stuff like raise money to put new weight rooms in for schools that don't have them. There's a huge discrepancy. And – yeah, I don't know how you fix that, because some communities have more money than others.
That's just
and
that's
doesn't,
the world.
Doesn't mean it's fair, doesn't mean it's right, but that's reality. I don't know what you do with it. So apparently some people are upset with baseball players who are opting out.
Yeah, well, I mean, are we not considering that, you know, they might not want to catch coronavirus? And it's not like basketball where, you know, they're basically setting it up for people not to contract coronavirus once they get started. Baseball, they're having these guys like fly on planes, stay in hotels. It's that's going to happen. I don't blame anybody who doesn't want to play.
And
baseball players, they've made so much money, most of them, that it's not worth it to me.
Yeah, my favorite are, oh, well, you make so much money, you should play. Why? For you?
For your entertainment?
And listen, if a guy doesn't feel safe with this, and to me, this kind of translates into what we've talked about here in our own business. If you don't feel comfortable coming into the office, don't come into the office.
Yep, I tell everybody that.
And, you know, now it's a little different because you won't get, well, I mean, we can still get paid if we stay home. But if these guys don't want to play, I don't fault them at all. And then what's going to happen if you get a week into the season and you wind up having to shut it down? Are these guys still turds? Because they said, you know what? I don't want to take this chance. Like maybe I've got family members I want to see. It's if you have the wherewithal to not do it, I think that's okay. And somebody said, I understand not wanting to catch corona as a baseball player, but it's their job. If I decided I didn't want to work because of the risk of corona, I won't have a job.
Well, the guy's not going to get paid while he's
yeah. here. And you know what? So it just gets back to what we're talking about. Some people are fortunate enough that they can afford to take off and not worry about it. And not everybody has that. And I would just say I have a lot of friends who are waitstaff and bartenders who had to go back to work and did not want to. They didn't have the choice because they couldn't afford not to work. Their companies made them go back to work. They didn't feel safe. And there's people running around without masks in there.
Yep.
And, you know, they had no choice. And if you're fortunate enough to have a choice, I'm not going to begrudge a guy making that decision. Yeah, it's his job, but he's also in a position where he can look out for your family. And that's got to come first, man. And these are human beings. I know it's hard to think of athletes as human beings because you see them on TV and they're like movie actors to you. And frankly, I don't look at them as human beings because if I do, then I'm not going to be honest about them half the time. But they are. And it's their choice. It's their families. And some of these guys don't need to do it. Like Ryan Zimmerman was going to retire anyway. So why go play a 60-game schedule that may or may not even get done? And I don't understand why people are ripping them for it. I really don't.
I don't either.
I think, hey, it's their choice.
Well, and it's funny because no one's ripping Ian Desmond for opting out.
No.
And he's opting
out. Oh, I'm sure people are. I just haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, nobody's doing it publicly because they don't want that backlash. It's funny how if it's racially motivated, no one's willing to bitch about it. But if it's coronavirus, there's still people who want to pretend like coronavirus doesn't exist or it's not like anything to worry about. It's an individual thing. Like if a guy is like, you know, a guy might have a young kid who's high risk. Well, none of us know. I don't know everybody's business. Well, so to me, if somebody doesn't want to play this year, of all years, I'm saying, you know what? I don't blame you. Cool.
It's easy for me. It would be easy for me to sit here and say, oh, well, they should go play. Well, I don't have kids at home to worry about. I got two dogs and a wife. That's it. And you know what? If I had to spend 6 months away from her, I'd probably be okay. But, you know, I get that these guys don't want to do that. And if they opt out, they opt out, man. And I don't think anybody can blame them. And somebody says, I thought athletes recover faster from this virus. I mean, their families don't.
Right.
Their moms don't. You know, what if you got a mom who's, you know, getting old and may not last much longer and you don't get to see her for 6 months? I get it. And if that's a choice they want to make, they should make it. And by the way, where's all my civil liberties people now? That's their choice. That's an American. I'm an American. It's my America. Right. My right to be on the show. But where is all that? Why don't you support them for this? I don't understand. Pat in the 409 says, fans have to realize sports at the end of the day. You put an end of the day in there, didn't you, Pat? It's simply entertainment. To piggyback off your comments about sports, many people are realizing life goes on with or without sports. It does. I listened to that promo where we're talking about it. There will be life without sports.
Yep. And you know what? Speaking of that promo, I heard Joel and Charlie talking about that exact promo today and how they feel very differently about it. Joel and Charlie both miss sports very, very much. And it's such an, like, them not having sports for a while has made them miss it more. So it's had the opposite effect that it's had on me. That it, just like we're talking about, everyone is going to look at this differently.
Right.
Everyone's different on these things. It's not as important to some people as it is to others. Baseball isn't as important to baseball player A as it might be to baseball player B. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys who, for them, baseball is a job. It's the job that they do that pays them good money. It's not their passion. And for a lot of them, it's certainly not worth risking their long-term health or their family's health for. So, you know, I'm not mad at anybody who decides that they'd rather not take the risk of Rona. It's quick because I don't know their situation.
No, and it's funny because talking about that promo, there are things I miss, but I mean, I don't need sports right now. I mean, I miss going around and being around people around sports, going out to bars and stuff like that. I miss that more than I do the actual sports. But
right.
What sports are we really missing right now? We'd be missing trash can talk for the most part.
Yeah.
And in a few weeks, oh, it's freaking July 1st tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just realize that. I feel like we've lost like half this year. Maybe
we'd literally have.
We pretty much have, yeah. Somebody says, I have a sister-in-law that works for, I'm not going to say where, but she didn't want to go back to work, but had to. Within a week, one of the staff members got the virus. Now she has to quarantine.
Yep.
And that's the thing. So if you have the choice to not go back and you can afford that, then why would anybody have anything to say about that? And so anyways, I heard Rudy Gobert still doesn't fully have his taste back and he's an athlete. Yeah, I mean, I saw that story and it's being portrayed as, oh, Rudy Gobert's not 100% recovered. Well, he didn't have his taste back. Woo.
But but everybody's affected differently by this thing. That's the other thing. Like, there could be guys who, you know, their cardio doesn't get back to, you know, again, we don't know everybody's personal situation.
Yeah, but in the end, it's not just about them. And this is something that I think a lot of people don't get, which is why so many of you were behind the curve on getting the masks on. It's not about just them. It's about the people they're around. It's about the people they want to be around. It's about their families. It's about their parents. It's about their grandparents. Not just about them. They're making a choice that's best for everybody in their family.
It's also about dealing with enlarged prostates. And the surgical options of dealing with enlarged prostates are horrible. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows they might try to put a drill inside your penis and break up your... Nobody wants that. That's terrible. And your thing might not work after. There's a percent chance that it wouldn't work. Well, that's why my man Dr. Andrew Doe came in at Elite Health and said, we're not doing that. We're not drilling penises anymore. We're better than that. We're not cavemen. If you've been diagnosed with enlarged prostate or someone you know, you don't need surgery. If you've been having a frequent need to urinate, you're doing it more at night, you're having difficulty starting, you need to call Dr. Doe. He's the first doctor in Houston to do a procedure called PAE, which is an advanced minimally invasive procedure. They use X-ray technology to treat your prostate. You're in and out in a few hours. Simple as that. Nobody in Houston has done more of these procedures than Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. He's a guy like us, to be honest. He's a good dude. He's a vet. He does jiu-jitsu. He's a former professional MMA fighter too. It's my kind of guy. But he's also a great doctor. PAE is covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today, 832-860-4618, 832-860-4618, or check them out online. ChoosePAE.com.
What the f*** you think? Yeah, silence is better. No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular. Ooh. No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular. Ooh.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And efforting Jerome Solomon on a Comrex here. Jerome's had the... brush with the Rona because one of his co-hosts has it, although I don't think they were in the same
room. Gross.
Yeah. Well, it's getting now where I saw a story today about Ryan Chase from Rulin Ryan has it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, they have. There's some TV guy has it. I guess you said Salisbury has it. Rachel, who works with Jerome, has it. A lot of, I guess can't really say you don't know anybody with it anymore.
No.
But I just want this damn thing to slow down, man. Just slow down, chill. Rona, maybe smoke some weed, you know, and then you won't quite be as motivated to infect everybody that you can.
Yeah.
Just a little PSA here. Just, you know, if you're the Rona and you're listening, because you must be, because somebody out there's got it, just chill a little bit. You know, hang out where you are for a bit. Smoke some weed, kind of go, all right, man. You know, maybe I don't need to infect AJ Hoffman.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you didn't infect me.
He says as he suddenly coughs.
Yeah.
That's.
Uh-oh.
I swear it's every time this air conditioner comes on. My eyes start watering. I've got to be allergic to something in those vents. I don't know what it is.
It's the coronavirus in those vents.
No, I don't think it's Rona. So that's the thing. You're not allowed to have anything else anymore, right?
Right. It's the only.
If I have allergies, Rona.
Do you honestly? I don't know if you're like me, but every time I have like a sniffle, I'm like, oh no, it's coming.
Now, I don't because
I'm paranoid.
So right now, my allergies are pretty bad. But if I get if I start to feel feverish, then I worry. All right, we got Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy? Are you still Rona free?
Oh yeah, I'm like you're telling Rona to chill. You need to tell people to stay away from Rona. That's the problem.
How did when did Rachel catch the Rona and like? Oh, we lost him.
Yeah, well, that was not.
That's all right. It
not
wasn't
exactly
great.
The best connection.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
All right. Well, we'll keep trying there. Take your time with it. Just get him when you can. Let's not try to force it with that. So Hockley Dan says THC kills every virus and every germ.
I don't think that's true.
I'd like to believe that. Big Aggie Steve said, just had to get my son tested because we got notified some kid had tested positive at the school-sponsored strength and conditioning camp. Not even sure at this point I want him back in school. And again, those are decisions that you need to make. And I'm glad that I don't have to make those decisions. My son basically does not want to go back on campus until, you know, this thing slows way down. And he hates online classes, but he doesn't want to do it. And I don't blame him. Now, he's graduated, so he'd be going back for grad school, which he could also put off a little bit so he can work.
Right.
But, you know, I and I'm also fortunate enough that now they're old enough to make their own decisions. But my daughter wants to go to Penn State, and she wants to be up there even if it's online. I'm totally fine with that, too.
Wait, she wants to go up there and do school online?
If she has to. I mean, right now she wants to be on campus, but she wants to be there to take her classes. So even if she's going to do it online, she's going to live there.
That seems odd.
Well, you know, they're probably going to wind up telling them not to come to campus pretty late. She doesn't want to not be up there in case she can go to campus.
I guess so.
Let's try that again. Jerome, are you there?
Man, I've tried four different lines.
Ooh, that's better.
High tech, low tech.
Damn,
now I'm just going to phone it.
That sounds good, though.
Yeah,
your phone's ever. This sounds better than your phone's ever sounded ever.
Well, I'm dialing through a Google phone or voice or whatever it's called. So maybe that's the ticket.
Maybe that is the move. When did you find out that that Rachel had the Rona? When did she find out? And like, did she have a bunch of symptoms and stuff, or has she just been kind of cool?
Yeah, no. She got hit with the symptoms. And you guys know she works at a bar, and so a couple of her coworkers came down with it, and she started, you know, feeling not good. And then she was like, "Man, there's something in the back of my throat that's worse than anything that's ever been in the back of my throat." And then the telltale sign, she lost the ability to taste and smell. So it was on then, and that was before she was managed to get tested. So it was pretty much a given.
So you're not worried, though? You're holding up okay?
Oh, no. You think I'm hanging around anywhere around those people?
have you been doing the Houston Sports Show? Have you guys been doing it in studio? How are you doing it?
We were doing it just from home on Zoom. That's what we've been doing. And that was just, no, I haven't been anywhere near them since March. Because between her and Lauren, who's millennial as well.
She's getting around.
They're hanging out. Yeah. And they're going to restaurants and bars, and they may be, you know, taking certain precautions, but no, they both have gone to New Braunfels and Austin for the weekend. I mean, they're hanging out like, you know, like kids are hanging out. No, I don't trust them. I'll leave it at that. I don't trust them.
Is she through the worst of it? Does she seem like she's like on her way back from it?
Yeah, she's on her way back. She by yesterday or day before yesterday, she was you know, she just said she felt she was still sluggish. That's the main thing. But, and she couldn't taste or smell. But otherwise, you know, it wasn't that significant. But I mean, she had nasty symptoms for a good solid week and a half, you know, and that, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we have basically seven people who work with Houston Sports Show across the board, you know, regularly. And two of them now have come down with it. One was an old black guy and now the young white girl. So the old black guy, of course, was in ICU and on his deathbed before he managed to survive. And so, no, it's and that was early on, too. I mean, he got it in late March. So it's been, you know, it's out there and it can be gotten. I've been afraid of being around anybody. And it does crack me up that people really just aren't taking it seriously enough. And I know I heard you guys talking about baseball players who choose not to play. In many ways, man, that's just a smart decision. I mean, it's, you know, like Zimmerman you talked about, well, his mother is elderly and she has multiple cirrhosis. So, and he has three young kids and a newborn. You know, the guy, Ian Desmond, has four children and his wife is pregnant. Oof. And you can tell people all you want about it doesn't affect kids the same way, but let your pregnant wife get that and goes down all because you decided to go back to play some baseball for a couple of months. You know what I mean? When you really don't have to. Now, it's actually a smart move not to do it.
I'm with you 100%. I don't get it. I think what's getting lost is that we should all react to this the way that we think is best for our family. And I think it's no different for athletes. I mean, if they feel in any way that this could endanger their family, especially if I had a pregnant wife, man, you think I'm going to want to be around? Well, I don't want to be around her. That's for sure. But you don't want to be around anyone else and bring that back.
No, not at all. And you're right. It's the way that we look at athletes in many ways. They make normal, everyday, regular decisions, and we critique them. We analyze it. We break it down. We don't do that. I mean, the short version of this, the plain simple thing is, these guys, they're taking a leave of absence.
Yeah.
People take leave of absences from jobs all the time. And it's just, that's what they do. But when you're an athlete and you're doing it, it's different. And in fact, with athletes, now this would deserve to be criticized, but if you were an athlete and you were a high level athlete and you were making so much money, if it's not possible, but think, what if it were possible that you actually did increase or lengthen your career by playing less? So forget this load management that, our boy is doing. Instead of load managing during the season, why don't you just load manage a whole year every now and then? You know, just cause you make enough money, you just take off a whole year and come back the next year. If it could actually extend it, that would be awesome, but it would be so bad for sports. But, you know, it would make sense for a person to do that.
Well, and one of the things I kind of wanted to dovetail into is actual sports, since the Astros are going to start practicing soon. One of the things I wrote for Thursday is how much I think the short season benefits them, because a guy like Lance McCullers now might be able to pitch the whole season in the playoffs. The bullpen, which always wears down, might not wear down this year. I mean, everybody wants to get caught up in the trash can stuff, but if they actually play this 60-game schedule in playoffs, don't the Astros have a real shot to win it all again?
Oh, I mean, the Astros had a real shot to win it all, period. This, I think, it increases the likelihood that they'll play well for the stretch. But with it being such a short season, an average team can get hot and have a great run or a great month or so, a month and a half, and be in the mix when you know over the course of a regular season they'd be out of it. So there is a possibility that a team that has no business winning it can win it. But a team like the Astros, no question. I mean, we talked to Dusty a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, it was like the Lance McCullers, like you said, was certainly going to be on some sort of innings restriction. Well, not now, you know,
yeah.
You don't have to worry about that because that restriction will fit within 60 games in the playoffs. So no, it's, but it is going to be key to see you know, who gets off to a fast start. And the Astros have a bunch of analytics that they've done that they're not willing to share, but they feel really good about what they're trying to do. And it is kind of – this is so different than anything we've ever seen. So it's not quite where you just look up everybody's best first 60 games of the season to right. see how they've done and try to measure it, because this isn't the first 60 games of the season, because there's been a three-month break. So it's quite a bit different. Spring training won't be the same. But no, I don't think there's any question the Astros are a big-time contender. And the same with Justin Verlander. He would have missed at right. least the first 2 months of the season. Now he'll hit the ground ready to go.
Yeah, that's about half my column you just spoiled for everybody. But a little bit about your job, though. Now, are you going to actually go out to any of these practices, or are you going to just stay away and do stuff on the phone with them? Because it seems like, you know, that's another thing. It's probably your choice whether you want to be around that or not. And I'm sure that the company's not going to make you go out there if you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, I haven't talked to them, but no, they couldn't make me go, obviously. But I don't know if you've read the Astros stipulation of what they're putting the media through to get into the practices. It's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy. It's what they have to do, but it's like, you know what? It's not worth it. And they also claim only one person per affiliate, which I'm sure they won't hold the Chronicle to that
right.
in that sense. But it's, you have to fill out a health questionnaire every time you go. You can't get a season credential. Every game is different. You got to get, you know, temperature tests and all that. That's fine. But you get an assigned seat wherever it is, and you only get to stay there. You can bring your own food if you like, but there is no food anywhere. You can order food that'll be delivered to your seat, but you can't leave your seat. You can't walk through the stadium and check out things and relax or any. Dude, they will assign you a restroom to use.
Well, but you know what?
All that,
that's smart, though. All that's smart.
Oh, no, I can say it's smart, but I'm saying, like, that you'd have to go through all of that to sit there, and especially now, to watch practice, baseball practice, which is the most boring practice in all of sports.
Right.
And then you cannot talk to anybody.
Well, see, that's the only point to go out there, right?
Will be on Zoom. Every interview will be on Zoom.
Yeah,
so,
no, there's no point then.
Right. I mean, it's like, why even be there? You know, you're not getting any special flavor, because how baseball is. You hang out in the clubhouse or whatever and on the field for 3 hours before the game. That's when you get 90% of your stuff. Well, that you can't do that anymore. So, and you can't hang out after the game for a couple of hours and dilly-dally around in the clubhouse with whoever's around and wants to talk. So that my entire advantage that I gained from, you know, acting like I'm cool enough to hang around these guys is lost in this season. And it's just, and I think it's going to be like that with all of the sports.
When you think about the games, I mean, there's really no point in going out there to cover a game in person either.
No, not at all. I mean, it's in many ways, even now, to a lot of people, you get to see more of the game by watching it on television at home. But I don't agree with that. Because I'm writing columns, so my column isn't about every play that happens in a game anyway. You know what I mean? But I have to get the flavor. I have to get what's going on. And you know, probably a good third of my columns will have very little to do with the game on the field, you know.
Right.
And so I kind of need to be at the game to do my best work in a way. But now, since I can't even walk around the stadium, so I won't be able to write a column about, you know, some family that I saw seated in a section and talk about them being there and bringing their dad to the game who has cancer or something. None of that can happen anymore, you know. So I'd probably do better going to the game and talking to people outside before they go in than I will be by being inside the stadium for the games. It's going to be so different. And I'm not complaining about me as a journalist. I root for me and what I do, but I'm just saying that it's going to be weird for everybody. Did you guys see the thing that I just saw it where the A's are selling placards?
No,
like you can buy you send them a photo, they'll put it on a placard and put it in the seats for you.
So no,
like, for like $89. And if you get hit by a foul ball, they'll send it to you. It costs like $129 for your foul ball. You know,
yeah.
Like that. I'm like, wait a minute. You gonna charge me $90 just to have my picture out there in the stands? I was thinking it was really stupid, and then I started thinking, and then I realized it wasn't for every game. It's you pay for it, they put it in the stands, and it sits there the whole season. So it's still stupid, but it's less stupid than buying, like, paying a ticket for every game to see your fake you seated in the stands.
Well, I mean, the A's don't sell out they don't sell out a game all season anyway. So, this is actually going to be more of a crowd than they're used to.
Exactly. But it just seemed like I wouldn't spend money to put a picture of me on top of a body and seat into this. I mean, are we that desperate for sports that I want my picture to go to a game that I can't go to?
You know, it'd be funny is like if we paid to get pictures of people we don't like and then sort of, you know, did the marker thing on their face or put a little Nazi symbol on their face. How about that?
I think they're going to be looking out for people trying to pull a fast one on them, you know? So they'll be paying a little attention to, I don't think you can get a Nazi symbol in her, you know? Maybe if you cut into the hair or it's blended in, like, what is it, like the arrow on the FedEx symbol that if you don't know it, you don't see it?
Right.
One of those kind of things. You might be pulled. You know somebody.
Is there a Nazi symbol in the FedEx thing?
Maybe so, but there's an arrow there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I say that's big news if true.
That's breaking news here. You'd be surprised where there are Nazi symbols.
Well, there's none in my hair. I can tell you that, Jerome. I promise.
You got a haircut?
I mean, my hair is the same as it always is. All right, that is Jerome Solomon. Appreciate the time, man. Appreciate the good connection, too. That was very nice.
Thank you, gentlemen. Y'all have a good one.
All right, take care.
All right, stay Rona free, brother. All right, let's go to my man, Lawyer Dave, because there's still idiots out there on the road getting into accidents, and maybe they get you in an accident. And if they do, you're going to call Dave, and Dave's going to go after them like the bulldog that he is. What's up, buddy?
You've got that right, Fred. Hey, Blitzers, you get in any kind of an accident, be it in a car, a truck, hit by an 18-wheeler, knocked down on an aisle at Kroger with some crazy loon not wearing their mask, give me a call, Lawyer Dave, Houston-based Lawyer David Mestemaker, at 713-626-8900.
Yeah, and not only that, if you wind up hospitalized over this and you get bad treatment, they misdiagnose you, you can help with that too, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the saddest part of what I do for a living. When someone goes to a hospital or sees a doctor and they get a bad prescription or they screw something up and then the person is either severely injured or they end up passing away. And, yeah, I help folks with medical malpractice claims every day.
And let's just say I'm in an accident. I can't afford any health care. And if I call you to talk to you about my case, what's going to happen?
I'm going to get you to a doctor and the specialty that you need without any money out of your pocket up front. And, in fact, if you need transportation, say Val threw you out and you only have one car so you got to walk, I'd get an Uber for you, Fred.
Wow, that's nice of you. And I'm not paying a dime out of my pocket until you win the case, right?
That's how it works. We gamble on this your case together. And when we win, we split the money appropriately.
And what happens if you don't win? Do I have to pay you?
Nope. You're off the hook. It's a gamble. And I'm counting on you being honest and having a good case. And we're going to grind till we get squeeze some money out of some doggone insurance company.
And you know what? As a gambler, Lawyer Dave does pretty well as a lawyer. Give him the number. Let him know how to get in touch with you, buddy.
Hit me up at 713-626-8900 or send me an email at lawyerdave.com or you can hit me on my Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or last and certainly not least, my buddy Fred knows how to find me 24/7.
Yeah, you can always hit me up on Twitter, send me an email, whatever. I will get you the information. They need a lawyer. What do?
They better dial Dave.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.